get into the family. I'm gonna teach on the family side for a little bit. Try to cover some things. You want to think about where the family's at. I mean, you want an exciting thing. Look up, Google, what is a family? Your head will spin. they have no idea. We live in a day and age, get this, 1 in 3 children have only a one parent. That's 23 million. USA has the highest rate of single parents. Of those single parents, 80% of those are single mothers. So you have a large portion of children, that's 23 million. 80% of those are raised just by the mom, and there's no father in that equation. And it's hard. It's hard. I mean, it's when you have clashing the two individuals who don't have a basis on salvation, the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, the Word of God, you get those situations. So we're going to start teaching on family. I've got some things listed here just to kind of kick it off. There's three institutions that God has ordained in the Bible, and those three are the family, government, and the church. That's where they're at. And of those three that are listed, the keystone, which is this in an arch, something that supports it, holds it up, the keystone is the family. Without the family, you don't have a government. Without the family, you don't have a church. So it's the keystone of all those things. I like to talk to atheists, because atheists, if they don't believe in God, how did we form families? How did people, why isn't like some of the animal kingdom where the male procreates with the female, and then he's like, I'm out of here, I'll see you later. And the female does all the rearing. That's not the case. God's ordained these things. He's laid them out. And so the first order, the first thing God institutes is the family. It is a foundational element. When you talk about family, the family is a foundational element to an individual's life. All right. You are what you are by the family you grew up with. And I know I've talked to many of you, and you know each other's life stories. You know what happened. But all those things formed you to who you are. My dad and I were talking the other night about mom and dad, the marriage and all that kind of stuff, and the example my siblings have all had, and even some of the grandkids. But you look at that and say, boy, that what a great example. And it was. We have a day and age where, the family element is really getting shifted around. But the family element, the foundational element of the family, shapes our lives, and it provides some things. I want to talk about those this morning. First thing it offers is support. It offers support. What kind of support? All kind of support. The first support you get when you come out from being born is your family takes care of you. They give you the things that are needful, whether it's food, whether it's shelter. Whether it's protection, all the things that you do with a baby, your family does that. They take care of it, and it develops bonds. When you look at the studies, I give an example would be my brother John. My brother John was a preemie, and he didn't get to experience the touch of mom and dad and family for a while. I can't remember how long he was. Yeah, I wasn't even born at that time, so I don't know how long it was. My dad would probably be more general with that. But he was separated from all those things. My mom would harp on those things about a woman and holding her baby and touching her baby to create those bonds. Super important. So a family gives support to that child, gives support mainly in the physical attributes as they're younger. The support would be that of mobility. You ever see a mother or father that'll lay a baby on his stomach and, come on, come on, mommy. And they're trying to get him to crawl. Or I remember Hudson, man, I got pictures that show up now, and he's trying to hold his head up. That big old head, and they're trying to hold that head up. You're encouraging that. You try to, the first steps. Jason's got a video, and Hudson's doing this, and his dad's holding him up. And he can't walk on it. He can't even stand. What is all that? That's all support. That's all part of the whole situation that God has put us into, but it adds support. It goes from a physical support in a Christian home to a spiritual support, and that's crucial. That is crucial for. I mean, you think about it. Churches are only as strong. You know, when you look at the Keystone, the church is only as strong as the family. And the family is that's where it's all occurs at. When you think about it, we're going to get to Genesis chapter 12 in a minute, deal with Abraham and what God had to say about Abraham. But these foundational elements of an individual life, that family provides support. Without that support, you'll die. Without the support, you'll die. It's where those things that those connections are established. You know, the advantage of having my grandkids next door is they trust me more, which is foolish on their part, but they trust me more than they probably would because they see me all the time. Hazel's not feeling well, so we were over there yesterday just for an example, and her dad had a food there, and Jason was going to eat, and I said, Hazel, do you want Grandpa to hold you? And she goes, yes. Well, and she was hot and wasn't feeling good and all that kind of stuff. But you build those things. That's the support. Not only do you build support, you build a sense of belonging. It's a sense of belonging. Sense of belonging. Why is that important? When you read through your Bible, the thing you'll see is God doesn't tell anybody to go out and be alone. Moses goes out to the backside for a few years, but he gets a wife and all that kind of stuff. God's never intended for us. You know, it's appealing to me as a man. It's appealing to me. These guys will go live up in Alaska in the wilderness with nobody around. What's that guy back in the day? They had a show, Alone in the Wilderness, it's called. And he built the house and then videoed the whole thing, took pictures of it. You know, I think it was probably in the 50s or 60s, this guy's first name is Dick. I forget his last name. I think it begins with a P. I'm picturing what he looks like and stuff. But that's not what God intended at all. We're to go out in all the world and preach the gospel. So there's a sense of belonging. We're tied together. No man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. There should be a connection, a sense of belonging in the family. And what we'll get at is all the attacks that are made against the family to break these ties. If it's a sense of belonging, you know what the internet does to a family? It disconnects that. There's no sense of belonging. I see it. I go to work at someone's house and there's a kid in the front room over here and another kid here and another kid up in the bedroom and their mom, and they're all on their devices. And they can't communicate. And we'll get to all that at some point, but there's no sense of a sense of belonging gives you purpose. You know why when your kids are tiny, you say, hey, Hudson, or hey, so-and-so, put this in dirty clothes. Well, you have to teach them where the dirty clothes go, or put this in the garbage can. You know, Hudson knows where they're all at now. If I give him something, you see him, it computes in his mind, he knows where the quickest one is at, and he runs to it and throws it in the garbage can. But that sense of belonging is what a family is to create. It's important. If you're a parent, you've got little kids, part of that family unit is that sense of belonging. That is allowing your kids to do chores, allowing them to be involved in those things so they feel as though there's value to who they are. And they have to have that sense of belonging. A family brings that. When you start looking at these things, the foundational elements of a family, when you start to see someone who has no family or no family involvement in their lives, you see why they're lacking all these things. You think about, here's the problem. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, we always, as Bible believers, I think to our fault sometimes, we say, well, we can't say anything to that family because they're lost. I'm kind of coming around where maybe you should say something. Because think about it. All the kids today, when they grow up, they'll be our political leaders. They'll be the adults in the room. They'll be all those sort of things. And if their upbringing has been so bad, their foundational elements in their life coming through have been so poor, what kind of leaders are they going to be? What kind of people are they going to be? You know, it's going to affect us at some point. And so this idea of the family, he gave the family unit for those things, for the support. He gave them for a sense of belonging, the purpose to have. A child needs to have that purpose in this life. And that thing continues to grow. I mean, think about it. When a kid wants to please mom and dad, and generally speaking, when a child is 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, they emulate mom and dad. They want to please mom and dad. They're real huge on that. And then they finally realize who mom and dad are. Like, yeah, I don't think I like them too much. I don't want to be anything like mom and dad. But at that age, they are. And so when you ingrain in them the idea of that they belong with this unit and they're loved in this unit and there's a place for them in this unit, that helps to develop that. So further on in life, they'll want to do the same. They'll want to do the same. And the things of family that used to be elementary 80 years ago are no longer there today. They're not there at all. The family, the foundational element of the family, not only supports where things are established, it gives us a sense of belonging, gives us purpose, but it also is a framework for personal and social development. It's a framework for personal and social development. Why is that important? It's called the pecking order. My older brothers beat up on the younger brothers. That's the way it went. Many a times my brother John would be on top of me and beating up on me. Well, then it was my turn to pass it down to Paul and Christopher. And Christopher today, or Mark, and then Mark all the way down to Dave. But, you know, it's a pecking order. There's a guy, I watch him from time and again. He's got videos. He's a dog trainer, and he trains dogs with his dog. In other words, his dog shows another dog how to behave itself. It's really interesting to see. The dog he has, I think, is a Doberman Pinscher or something, and so these dogs don't know how to interact. And his dog, what it does, if that other dog doesn't treat him or the other dogs in the pen the right way, he grabs him by the throat, and the dog's like, oh. You know, and then they put him back out with the other dogs, and he tries it again, and that Doberman grabs him again. And after about 5 minutes, that dog is broken from how he's supposed to conduct himself. And it's that way with a family. This idea of social development, this idea of how to interact with people, the pecking order. There's always someone bigger and stronger than you, so therefore you better have some respect, right? It goes to, these things are young and ingrained, but they go to authority. We have a generation now, they don't, you question authority, and you know, nowadays, you get pulled over by the cops and you think the cops are out to get you. That's a problem. And where's that come from? It comes from the family unit. The lack of the family unit or the teaching of the family unit. So it's a framework of personal and social development. When I mean social development, I mean this. I mean, how do you solve problems within the family structure? I mean, think about it. If a child has no parents, who do they answer to? Or if they only have one parent, it's hard. Don't get me wrong, but a part of the family thing is to help a child, to help someone get to a place where they can resolve problems amongst each other. That is a real problem for today. When children are, they now have AI, and they're introducing it in kindergarten, first and second grade, where a child gets on a computer and it talks to the computer. A child will say, well, what about this? And AI will respond in a manner that the child can understand it. And they have interactions with AI. I don't know if you understand how dangerous that is going to become, because all the answers come from AI. In other words, you'll submit to AI as a child before you'll submit to your parents. I mean, this is where we're headed. I'm hoping the Lord comes back before this starts playing out. But folks, I listened to it was a podcast, Jordan Peterson, I think it was, and a couple other guys, and they're playing a tape of a little boy having interactions with AI on his iPad. Where did the world come from? And it didn't talk about God at all. It was atheism in its perspective. People now, like, they turn everything over to the kid with that stuff. And so the family is getting replaced by technology. And I get it. Listen, mom and dad both work and come home hard. And the kid's like, man, they know what they do. They take that iPad and go, here, watch the show. Everybody, you can all say, yeah, I know people like that. They want somebody else to raise their kid. Those people would be better off if they really want children not to have children. It's like this. I go to people's houses and the dog is in a cage and there's people home. Instead of disciplining the dog to where you can let the dog out, they leave the dog in the cage. And they go, oh, do you like dogs? I say, I love dogs. They say, why don't you have a dog? I said, I don't have the time to put into raising that dog and taking care of that dog the way he deserves it to be raised. I don't think you should have a dog. I mean, maybe this is just me. I don't think you should have a dog and he sits in a cage all day. That's just where I'm coming from. I love dogs. We had dogs when we were kids. So people now have children, but they're so worn out from their jobs and their lifestyles and everything going on, they set a computer in front of it and said, here, let the computer do the job. Well, who wrote the program for the AI? Was he a Christian man? Was he a saved man? Was he a Bible-believing man? No, he wasn't. And so you have an influence that's coming down the pike now where your kid will, here's what they're after. Here's what the devil's after, all right? Where government or society will raise your kid and you won't because they know better how to do it. I've heard teachers in the last 4 or 5 years, they're talking about how stupid parents are and say, I know better than the parent knows. That's what they said. And it's usually the ones with 3 different colors hairs and a tackle box in their face and they're teachers. And they're talking about how, you know, and they're 20 somethings, you know, well, you know, this and that and all that kind of stuff. Folks, that's that's where we're at. So the substitution for the framework of personal and social development, now the parents are giving that to somebody else. Folks, don't do that. It's a sacrifice to have kids. You may not drive a nice car if you're going to try to raise your kids the right way, because it's going to take effort. The reason why my wife did not work, and this is just your preacher talking, is I wanted her. God gave us children, and he didn't give us children for someone else to raise them. He gave us children for her to raise them and me to help. So she didn't work. She stayed home. Took care of the kids, raised, training the kids. I think if you ask my children if they appreciate that, they're going to say, yeah, absolutely. There's things she instilled in them, things she tried to get to them. But we've come to a place where there's the human interaction that you have set up in a family. An atheist doesn't have a family unit. We have a family unit because we believe in God and heaven above, and there's a pecking order. There's an order to things. I remember witnessing to a guy years ago. As far as I know, he never got saved, but he thought it was stupid for a man to be the head of the house. And I said, well, that's neither here nor there, and I could agree with you, but the Bible tells us who's the head of the house. So there's an order, and there's an order to the family. That framework there is listed. Now, what the world defines as a family, oh, man, forget about it. What you're going to find in the Bible about family? First of all, the word family occurs in 76 verses in your Bible, the word family. It only occurs one time in the New Testament. The word families is in 164 verses in the Bible. There are none of those in the New Testament. So that's 164 of the word families. They all occur in the Old Testament. And the word family occurs 76 verses and only one time in the New Testament. We'll get to that later. We're going to get over to Ephesians or where it's at. But here's the point I'm making is the family is definitely talked about and covered in the Old Testament. The importance is there. I'm reading through in my Bible in the book of Numbers, right? So in the book of Numbers in chapter 26 for illustration's sake, he's giving the roster of the tribes, and he's listing the people from 20 years old and upward. He's laying down names and all that kind of stuff, And it's all connected to the families, of Reuben, the family of Simeon, the family of Gad. They're listed there. God shows us and stresses the importance of family and families in the Old Testament to corroborate and get set in our minds how important it is. The family is super important, and the genealogy of the family is extremely important in the Old Testament. I mean, if you're a saved couple and you have a child, who here wants to name their kid if you're saved and in your right mind? Who would name your child Judas? Why wouldn't you name your child Judas? I've got other names here. Let's see if I can find them. Yeah, Jethro. And Onan. You've got where's your name, Dad? The two priests that mess up. Abihu and Nadab and Abihu. Yeah, Nadab and Abihu is one. You got two sets. Anyways, God lists names. If you study it out, God lists those names and those genealogies in the old family, and they're attached to a family. And they're attached to, and that's important. The first mention in the Old Testament, go to Genesis chapter number 10. Genesis chapter number 10. This is your first mention of the word families in the Bible. Genesis chapter 10. It's found here in Genesis chapter 10, verse number 5. And these were the isles of the Gentiles. Ooh, connected with Gentiles. Divided into their lands, everyone after his tongue. Tongue was first and foremost. Look at after their families and their nations. Now, here's the first mention of the word family. Go to Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter 20. So this is the importance that we learn by studying the genealogies in the Old Testament. It helps us to understand how important it is, because here's what God says about it here in Leviticus chapter 20. Look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 5. He says, then I will set my face against that man, look at, and against his family. So the individual man, the individual that's listed there in that family, if God's against them, he becomes against that family. Why is that important? Well, if you're the head of the house, gentlemen, and you're the guy running the whole show, and you get God against you, you'll get God against your family. When they crucified Jesus Christ, his blood be on us and on our children's children. That's that's genealogy. That's running that thing through. That's where the payment's going to be made. And so you have God sets his face against that man, against his family. God against the wrong family actions. If you have, I mean, think about that. Remember Achan in the Bible? He took the wedge of gold and he hid it. And not only did he die for it, his whole family died for it, even the children and the babies. That's how God worked. People who don't read the Old Testament, I get it all the time from just these folks who go to big box churches. They read the New Testament, think, oh, Jesus is love. Yeah, he is. But 1 Samuel chapter 15, God tells the nation of Israel to go take the Amalekites and kill them all. All of them. Moms and dads, kids, sucklings, the Bible says. That's a newborn. That's a one-year-old and under. That's a kid paying a price. So it's an important thing to see. The importance of genealogy in Scripture used to be attached to your name. To your name. That's important. You know what it is today? Nobody has a clue. We all go on to what? Ancestry.com. And we try to figure it out. Is Ancestry.com accurate? I don't even know. I think they just take your money and they just make it. Well, I think we'll put a little bit of this in this guy and stuff. I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is if you look at in the book of Revelation, the 144,000 there in the 12 tribes, they can track their ancestry back, and they have it written down. We don't. Why is that? The devil's gotten into it. Here, go over here. Where is it at? It'll come to me. I got notes all over the place, which is a problem for me. Oh, there it is. I think it's Proverbs. I've got it. I'm looking for the quote so I can take it there. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. There are a lot of directions we can go into. We'll try to keep it controlled, I guess, so that you can follow. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. The Bible says there, a good name is rather to be chosen. See that? A good name. Than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So it's an important attribute that you have a good name. You can write this down. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 1. There it says, a good name is better than precious ointment. And so the name and the family name was really important, especially when people were keeping track of their genealogy, because there's a connection there between if you had the right kind of family and walking the right way, you received the blessings of God. And if you didn't, God turned his face from you. So the family unit, which was so important back in the day, and understandably, the importance of family, and it's a name recognition. That's what it is. When people say, you know, oh, do you have a sister or a brother by this name? I go, no. You know, people always, you know, when they know Dombrowski, it's a Polish name that a lot of people have heard. Brother Wolski was a missionary in Poland for years, and he said Dombrowski is like Smith. It's a very common name over there, so we would have a common name. So a family name is to be honored. It's connected to that genealogy. It's connected to a family. It's connected to a family. Nowadays, kids don't care if they slander or shame the family name. Why is that? Because they weren't trained or they weren't ingrained in why keeping the family name above reproach was important. Yeah, I mean, folks, I'm talking about stuff that I don't know we could ever get back to in the country. I'm just telling you kind of where it's come from and where it's at now. This whole thing is convoluted because that's what the devil intended to confuse and break up. If he gets rid of this, I mean, if you're building, you know, when we build an arch like this, we have a support that's built just like the arches. It's this radius, you know, you got a radius here, it goes from here to here. This radius we have in metal, or we make it up out of lumber, and then you set all this stuff. Because as soon as these joints dry, then you take it out and it supports itself. But if you eliminate the family, the whole thing crumbles. The whole thing falls apart. It cannot sustain itself. And so that's what you have. You have the problem with these things here. So the institution God ordained, the first one ordained here is the family. Government comes after that. That's self-government or self-control. It's the Constitution says we find these truths to be what? Self-evident. Just by observation, you can see what God intended for the family. It's that Trinity. The Trinity is through everything. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So you have those things. So the family is first and foremost. You have government. You know why our government is so heavy now? Our government looks like this now. It's like, it's huge. This thing is just getting bigger and bigger all the time. I was listening to a couple guys talking about that new program where they're going to have Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy run it, where they're going to try to condense those things. They say, and no one can tell you the exact amount, there's between 400 and 500 government agencies now. That's a lot. And no one in government can even name them all. They just keep another one and another one and another one and another one and another one. They just grow up bigger and bigger and bigger. Government is now 22% of the folks out there working anymore. It's crazy. So these institutions are all tied to reproducing or the sustainability of the human race. And they're done so for the physical. But then they're done for the spiritual. They're done for the spiritual. A church is only as good as the families that are there. And the families are to emulate what the scriptures teach us. They're supposed to emulate what God has. So the families are, when you come into a church and we get new folks coming to church, they should be able to look at a family and go, that's what a family is supposed to be like. That's what the church is supposed to be like. And it's hard. It's hard because we are in a day and age where people quit, throw in the towel, not going to work it out, not going to do this, not going to do that, don't want to do the work. It's a lot of work. You may look at my parents and say they had a great marriage and a great family, but they used to fight. I was there. Tom was there. They had disagreements. But you know what? They never gave up on the idea of marriage and family. And it's a hard thing. There are people who get involved in a divorce and it wasn't their fault at all. That's hard. And do you not think the Lord can't compensate for that? I mean, if you're here this morning, that's where you find yourself. You just do right and God will bless you for it. You stay at it. You know, Doc used to say it all the time. He talked about these guys that never had married the same gal their entire life, and he'd say, yeah, that's so nice, but what about the guy that she left him or vice versa? Yeah. So you say, what is a family? It's what God instituted for us to follow. It's what we're supposed to do as far as keeping this thing intact and keeping it working. Satan is going to attack the institutions because he's an antichrist. He's anti-God. He's been trying to undo what God's been doing for a long time. We teach about Eve being deceived by the devil over there. And the New Testament talks about the indication that her and the devil did more than just talk. And so she was deceived. Why did the devil want to deceive Eve? Or why did, you know, the Bible talks about Cain, who was of that wicked one. When you look at those two boys, there wasn't conception between the two. There was conception in one boy and then the second boy. And he's of that wicked one. Cain is of that wicked one. Why would the devil want to get involved in that marriage? That family. You want to mess it up. A family should produce or instill the means of communicating to each other. There should be a sense of needing others. That's the human condition. The family is a training ground. Ruining the family is the devil's work. Reconcile the family is the Lord's work. So what's the devil trying to do? He's trying to attack the family. First of all, it's trying to attack the family in its position in Scripture. Its position in Scripture. The family has a high pecking order in the Scripture. It's very important to God. The position is very important. It's the position in Scripture. Second of all, it's the procreation or the purpose of the family. The attack of the family. Most people now have their first child after 30 years old. You know why? I can tell you why. I was stupid. I was dumb. I'm like, and I tell this people all the time. I tell people all the time. I was just young, and I said, let's get married. I'll have kids. I never thought about how am I going to afford these kids. I didn't. My faith was very simple back then. I just figured, well, And a lot of it goes to my dad. He's the fault here, right? He kept having kid after kid after kid. And the money kept coming in somehow. So we had kids at a young age, and the Lord took care of us. We always had food to eat. We generally always had a place to sleep. God took care of us very well. Nowadays, it's calculated. Nowadays, you go, well, I need to have this established. I need to have you got to have the room, the blue room for the boys and the pink room for the girls. I'm not, folks, I get it all. I get it all. But here's what I want you to understand. God puts the family up higher than those other things. And if the family is what God wants us to have, then he must provide the way for that family. Right? And I know, I get... We got young couples in here, right? I know it. And I'm not preaching at you guys. All I'm saying is if God expects and wants a family from you, that's a conversation you're going to have with him at some point, sooner than later. Listen, if you wait, my wife and I have talked about it, if we waited to have enough money to afford children, I probably would have never had children. You don't know. We went to a financial planner. I've never saved any money because I had kids. And the first thing I told the guy, I said, listen, before you start preaching that, man, I said, listen, I don't have any money, but I have four kids. And I went on the internet, and the internet told me each child runs about $800,000. Times four, that's $3.2 million I spent on four kids. That's where my money's at. So if I can sell them, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Nobody wants to buy them. I got a Facebook marketplace. I keep lowering the price, and nobody picks it up. You have to understand, if that's what God wants, and that's where I come in at. That's where I told the Lord, I said, well, here's another one coming. And it gets tight, no doubt about it. But God can take care of you. If you want a good testimony, you sit down and talk to my dad sometime. I remember it got so tight one time, and the money was so tight. My dad kept talking to my mom, said, you're going to have to go back and get a job. I can't afford this. He's just looking at the plain mathematics of it all. And leaning on her to go get back, she's in nursing. And knock on the door. Long story short, there's a man says, hey, we'd like to drill a gas well on your property, and we're going to pay you for that, and then we're going to give you free gas, and then we're going to pay you royalties on top of that. What was that? A coincidence? No. That's God taking care of the needs. Take care of the needs. But the devil's putting pressure now, and I get it. The average family starts when you're in your 30s. Because you're trying to establish yourself. It's back in my day when I first started, I could almost maybe stay home if I had a good job, or I could go to work and she could stay home. Nowadays, everything costs so much. I understand it, folks. I understand it. But the moment you said, I do, in God's equation, that is directed toward bringing children into the world, right? That you might raise up a family to glorify God. That's the whole purpose behind Paul. And so the devil is attacking. He's attacking the purpose of marriage. He's attacking the purpose of family to destroy society, to undo what God wants to be accomplished and what God wants to happen in our society. And it's across the board. It's one thing to see it in the church. It's another thing to see it in the world. You see it in the world every day, and it's awful, because I'm looking at 4 and 5 and 6 year olds that someday they're going to be the guys running everything. And if that's their foundation, we're in big, big, big trouble. Big trouble. The attack comes on the family as far as protection, a sense of security. So many children now are insecure. The thing we did not lack in my family growing up was insecurity. We had security. We had a lot of us, right? I didn't have to worry about, anybody. My brothers had my back, and I would have their back. But, the house was left unlocked for most of the time. The cars were left unlocked, and there was a place of security there. That is, you have no idea how important that is to a little kid or a child, having security, and how it puts other things at ease so that other things can develop in their lives. And these are all things that the devil is attacking, because it's a training ground. It's a training ground for your future. People are insecure today because they grew up in a family with no security. I mean, when you think about it, when you know where you have come from, when you know exactly where you're at and you know exactly where you're going, I tell you what, all the other stuff is kind of like, don't worry. We'll get through this. It won't be a problem. For the Christian, that's a great advantage. And as you teach your children about these things, and they start, we were watching a sunset yesterday out of Carrie and Jason's back window, and you can see across the valley, and it's pink and purple. It's just a beautiful sunset last night. And I said, Hudson, who made that sunset? God. He just keeps going. Don't even bother with me. That answer is too easy. I said, well, I could have made it. He's gone. He's just shaking his head like, Grandpa, shut up. You're being foolish. The government or society cannot replace the family. It's more than biology. That's where the world comes in. It. Well, what's the science say? It's biology. No, it's more than biology that you have a family. It is because God gave you those children. They're loved, the children are the heritage of the Lord, right? The world looks at it from a standpoint of biology, so they can plug and play anybody into the equation and think they can get the same outcome. God's system is it's not just biology, but it's God going, all right, you're ready for this. I'm going to give you this, and therefore, there you go. You're accountable to the scriptures as far as children are going. All right, so the family. Just starting on the family. Anyways, any questions there? We're running out of time this morning. We'll get into more next week.